From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of Faith Free Presbyterian Church, preaching Christ in all His fullness.
Thank you for joining us for another broadcast of Let the Bible Speak, featuring the messages of Dr. Alan Cairns, Minister Emeritus of Faith Free Presbyterian Church in Greenville, South Carolina. Today, Dr. Cairns continues this series in the studies of the law of God as he concludes the first of two messages dealing with the fifth commandment, honor thy father and thy mother. The Bible provides clear instruction as to the respective roles of parents and children. Parents are to instruct their children in the ways of God. They are responsible to provide for their children, not only materially, but spiritually and emotionally. Also, parents are commanded to discipline their children and to teach them respect for authority and for others. Parents are to help their children to take the long view of the matters of life. Dr. Cairns will join us in just a few minutes. First of all, we invite you to hear this brief devotional selection taken from C.H. Spurgeon's collection called Faith's Checkbook. Our devotional for today is called Made Rich by Faith. The text is found in Psalm 9 and verse 18. For the needy shall not always be forgotten. The expectation of the poor shall not perish forever. Poverty is a hard heritage, but those who trust in the Lord are made rich by faith. They know that they are not forgotten of God, and though it may seem that they are overlooked in His providential distribution of good things, they look for a time when all this shall be righted. Lazarus will not always lie among the dogs at the rich man's gate, but he will have his recompense in Abraham's bosom. Even now the Lord remembers His poor but precious sons. I am poor and needy, yet the Lord thinketh upon me, said one of old. And it is even so. The godly poor have great expectations. They expect the Lord to provide them all things necessary for this life and godliness. They expect to see all things working for their good. They expect to have the closer fellowship with their Lord, who had not where to lay his head. They expect His second advent and to share its glory. This expectation cannot perish, for it is laid up in Christ Jesus, who liveth forever. And because He lives, it shall live also. The poor saint sings many a song which the rich sinner cannot understand. Wherefore, let us, when we have short commons below, think of the royal table above.
Thank you.
From time to time here on Let the Bible Speak, we've called attention to Q&A with Alan Cairns. These are video clips of Dr. Cairns giving biblical answers to a variety of questions. These include such issues as, what is the gospel? Why did Christ have to be virgin-born? How do we know the Bible is the Word of God? What's wrong with same-sex marriage? In all, Dr. Cairns responds to over 50 such concerns. As we've mentioned, all of these video clips have been available on the ltbsradio.com website. Now we're pleased to make available a DVD containing all of these video portions, about 5 hours of guidance from God's Word for problems which face the 21st century Christian. You may have a copy of Q&A with Alan Cairns free of charge simply by requesting it. Just ask for the DVD of Q&A with Alan Cairns. You may email ltbs@freepress.org. That's ltbs@freepress.org. Or you may telephone us toll-free at 866-877-LTBS. That's 866-877-5827. Finally, if you wish, you may write, Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. Here's an excellent way to provide scriptural answers to family and friends regarding the challenging questions facing believers in this day.
Eli had sons that he raised. to be damned. He saw them become priests, but he still saw them damned. And the Lord put his finger on what was wrong with Eli. When his sons were going into sin, he didn't restrain them. Now, when you find that, when you read the record, you find that he did speak to them about their sin. He did speak to them, which is more than many Christian parents would do. He spoke to them. You would say he remonstrated with them about their sin. He pleaded with them not to go on in their sin. But the one thing he wouldn't do was set up the standard of God's holiness and apply the sanction of God's law. In other words, when they trampled what he said beneath their feet, he just threw up his hands and said, "What can you do?" You see a picture of many parents there? "Oh, Johnny, don't do that." And Johnny goes and does it. "What can you do?" What can you do? Well, you can start by catching yourself on. That's what you can do. Christian parents must have the guts, the courage, and the faith to take God at his word, to set up the standards of not only law, but of grace. Not only of law, but of gospel. And they must impose them, not like Eli, but they must rule by the word of God, and not by the opinions and the philosophies and the psychologies of the world. In all this, they must be teaching these children to respect authority, divine and human. They must teach them God's word. They must teach them what it is to respect this book, to respect God's house, to respect God's day. Those are very simple things that even a small child, little time out of babyhood, can grasp. Teach them these things. And then teach them God's word. And then teach them God's grace, God's gospel. Teach them submission to divine authority. And then submission to human authority. First their own. And then that of rulers in state and in church. Now parents must not set out to squelch self-expression and the development of the individual personality in a child. But they must regulate those things by the word of God. Let me touch on something that's very down to earth. This commandment means that parents are called upon to teach their children how to behave in relation to others. They must teach the child that he cannot always have his own way, and he can't always indulge his own pleasures. Must teach him respect for authority and how to live in relation to the authority and the rights of others. In Bible times, children called their father Lord. They bowed down, even when Solomon was king, he did this. Bowed down before his mother. They stood, as we have read in God's word tonight, they stood when an older person would enter into their presence. Now the customs have changed, but the principle remains the same. You know what we're talking about there, of course, is what we nowadays call good manners. And good manners should not be corrupted. Someone has well said that manners are the brakes which conscience puts on the expression of the lusts of the flesh. Good manners will be like disc brakes on a vehicle that otherwise would run out of control. And they teach children to have respect for and regard for the effect of their behavior on other people. Now let me deal with a very particular part of this. It's a very important thing that parents must teach their children by their discipline. And it's the need to take a long view of things. Children live for the moment. We all know that time means nothing to a child. Joan and I used to laugh when Frank was coming in from Bob Jones when he was knee-high to a grasshopper. Of course, he was knee-high to a grasshopper until he was 16. But, I mean, when he was very young, he'd come in and we'd say, "Well, how long did that go on for?" He says, "Oh, about 11 minutes. Of course, he hadn't a clue what if it was 11 minutes or 11 hours. He hadn't a clue about time. Maybe a little bit like myself when I come to preach. I haven't a clue about time either. But we all know that children live for the moment. To be denied something in this moment to a child can be excruciating. That's why parents find it so difficult to deny a child. I'm sure you've seen them in Kmart or Walmart or whatever other mart you go to, and there they're screaming, "I want that!" "Oh, nearly this ticket." And they're only down the next day. "I want that." "Well, give it to him." You know, you can't say no. You can't. I'll give you a dictionary. It's in big letters in my dictionary. But the agony for the child is real. It's real. It's not just simulated, though it can become simulated if it's indulged too often. But the trouble is, the child lives just for the moment. He must be taught what it is to wait and to labor and even to suffer for the moment in order to achieve long-term benefit. Those old hands here from the days of Bob Jones Sr. will remember one of his famous recorded sermons on sacrificing the permanent on the altar of the immediate. We must teach children not to sacrifice permanent good for immediate pleasure or immediate indulgence. That's what a parent has got to train a child to do. Now, let me be very frank with you. Parents will find that very difficult. If they themselves are living a life, for instance, where they're crushed by debt, because they could not discipline themselves to wait and see if they had an attack of the gimmies, "I must have, I must have, I must have," and they can't pay. How can those parents teach children what it is patiently to endure? You can't do it. There's nobody in this world will tell the difference between walking the walk and talking the talk than a child. He knows. Again, if parents are playing fast and loose with their marriage vows, or they're giving themselves up to the indulgence of some of the other lusts of the flesh, they haven't a hope in the world of teaching their children the benefits of patient self-control. And those parents particularly who are sacrificing the eternal welfare of their souls because of momentary pleasure will communicate that disdain for heaven to their children. Jesus asked, "What will it profit a man if he should gain the whole world and lose his own soul?" There are parents who are not gaining the world, they're gaining just a little piece of the world, and they're willing to risk the damnation of their soul for all eternity for that little piece of the world, but yet at the same time they want to be able to rear their children and teach their children what it is to live with the long-term view. I tell you, it can't be done, for usually the child will not only listen to what you say, but far more importantly, he'll do what you do. Remember the old story of the man who came home in the dead of winter, looked in at home, saw the children, gave his little boy a lecture, told him what to do, said good night, stepped outside and started to walk through the snow. On his way to the bar, You've all had that sense of someone following you. He had that, and he turned around and he saw a sight that changed his life. He saw a little boy walking through snow that was too deep for him and lifting up his legs and putting his feet in the very hole that his father had made in the snow. That father that night recognized, my son does not only hear what I say, but he's putting his feet in the very prints that I have made. If he follows me where I'm going, he'll follow me to hell. The duties of parents. I'll come back, God willing, next week to deal with the duties of children. But I want you to understand me tonight that this domestic relationship, this domestic arrangement, this domestic happiness, this commitment of your whole self, this investment of your whole being, is next to your conversion to Christ the most important thing you're ever going to do in this life. If you have children, they are your most precious possessions. They are your most important possessions. And remember, they are immortal possessions. The duties of parents are great. How can we do it? How can anybody live up to this? The duties are there. I think there's not a parent here but is bound to feel, Lord, I am such a failure. And yet, the duties are given to instruct us, to encourage us, and to enable us. They're not given to depress us and defeat us and put us on a guilt trip. They are meant to be fruitful in our lives. When you consider these duties, how can you fulfill them? First, make sure you're saved. Second, make sure you yourself are walking with God. Understand the gospel. Understand how God the Father has treated you, and you as his representative will know how you should be a father. Understand the gospel. Understand grace. Let it thrill your heart what God in grace has done for your soul. And I tell you, the greatest equipment that any parent can have to do right in the home is to be living in the full experience of the gospel. You can express God's grace when you're experiencing God's grace. When you're living in the enjoyment of Christ, then you will be able to communicate that enjoyment in all your domestic relationships. The law tells us what to do. The gospel gives us the power to do it. May God teach us and then enable us to obey his word.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. We hope that you've enjoyed and benefited from today's program. We're here as your servants for Christ's sake. If we can be of any further help to you in the things of God, we invite you to contact us. If you would like to receive our booklet, A New Beginning, a booklet that sets forth God's way of salvation in clear, concise, and biblical ways, you may have it free of charge, simply for the asking. Our mailing address is Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. That's Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. If you wish, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-LTBS. That's 1-866-877-5827. You may email us at info@faithfpc.org. That's info@faithfpc.org. Also, we invite you to visit our website at www.faithfpc.org. If you would be interested in considering the establishment of a Free Presbyterian Church in your area, by all means, let us know. Once again, you may call us toll-free at 1-866-877-5827. On behalf of Dr. Alan Cairns, this is Charles Kelch saying thank you for listening and inviting you to join us Monday through Friday at this same time as we Let the Bible Speak.